Good morning, everybody. If you would be kind enough to find a seat, we'll begin our service in just about 30 seconds. Our family can't thank you enough for taking time unusually busy Saturdays for coming to join us in remembering our brother Dennis. You know, the Bible talks about a great cloud of witnesses. I'm not sure I understand exactly what that means, but if Dennis is in that cloud right now and able to see what's going on, he's waving at everybody and saying thank you. He loved you all. He loved this church. And he loved his family. And stating that, he had an impact on a lot of lives. So it's our joy as his siblings and extended family to just honor him with remembering the kind of brother, friend, Christian buddy that he was. I'd like to just let you know that I'm joined by my wife, Pat, of 50 years. How she's put up with me for that time, I have no clue. But she's more the love of my life now than ever. Our daughters are here, our son-in-law, and we're so pleased. Doug's beautiful wife, daughter, son, and his beautiful wife are here also. And then the rose of our family, Diane, she kept us thorns in line. And much of her family is here too. It's just a great, great honor to have you all here. And when I think of some of you coming not just hundreds of miles, but thousands of miles to be here, it speaks to who Dennis is and the impact he had on his life, on your life, and on all of our lives. So we want to welcome you very much. And then Neil was kind enough to let us know this is being live streamed. I just thought, man, we could have sold tickets. Dennis is a big draw. And that's true because of the man, the brother, he was and is. And maybe I seem a little too happy for some of you. I can't help it. I just can't help it. Every time I think of Dennis, and it's many times throughout each day since he went home to be with Jesus, it's not, well, it really boils down to this. I just wonder, what is he doing? My wife asked me just last night, do you think he met the Apostle Paul yet? And on it goes. So we're here, and it can be sad. There will be times of mourning. But the reality, as Christians, we have such assurance that absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So what joy we have. So we're going to begin. My brother Doug is second, but I think he's done the most work for today. And he'll be doing that and sharing that with everybody in just a minute. But it's my honor to lead us in a prayer. So if you would join me. Father in heaven, we praise you for your goodness. We praise you for your love. We praise you for who you are. This time can mean a lot of things to different individuals, but we want this to be a time of worship of you and of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and of the Holy Spirit, his intercessory prayer for all believers, his ability to teach us and guide us and enlighten us. So we give you praise, and we invite you to just do what you do when your family gathers. And we praise you for that. Amen. And now, Doug.
Thanks, Tom. This was Dennis's favorite Christian group, the Geddes. And to start the program, we're going to play one of their songs, In Christ Alone. And if you know the if you know the lyrics, sing along, or you can just listen.
Christ alone, Christ alone, what is our only confidence, that our souls to him belong, who holds our days within his hand, what comes apart from his command, and what will keep us to the end. The love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess Christ, our hope and our defense. Come, the trouble soul. God is good, God is good. There is his grace and goodness known. In our great Redeemer's love, who holds our faith when fears arise, who stands above the stormy trial, who sends the waves that brings us nigh unto the shore, the rock of Christ. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope Christ. What will we say? Christ he lives, Christ he lives, and what we own will heaven bring. Everlasting life with him, then we will rise to meet the Lord, and sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours forevermore. We'll sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. We'll sing hallelujah, our hope
when Dennis was at the assisted living facility on one of my visits, I said, Dennis, let's talk. He said, about what? I said, about you and your life. He said, oh, that'd be great. So we sat down and I asked him a lot of questions. He gave me lots of answers. And there are a couple surprises that I can share with you later on. But I started out with this question. Dennis, what was the most important life-changing event in your life? And he told me. But instead of me telling you, I'm going to let him tell you.
4 or 5 years old, I came. You know, mom's quite the evangelist. So one night, I went and we prayed. We got on our hands and knees and prayed. And I remember Scott had to be downstairs at the, you know, he met me down at the base of the stairway. And I came on up, I told him what I did. And, right.
That's good, brother.
When I talked to Dennis, I was under the impression that he took the oath. What is that? Bachelor to the rapture. And, so we talked about that a little bit. He said, Doug, I was happy. I was content. He says there is advantages for being single. I took advantage of those. The Bible talks about the advantages of being single, and you know, spiritually, and I was fine. And he says, you know, I did date the ladies. I mean, and we talked about that a little bit, and Dennis had a gazillion pictures. I don't think he ever threw anything out. But as we're talking, he's going through these files, and he goes, you know, I kind of thought this one was attractive, and I was, you know, she was pretty nice. And so I said, did you ask her to marry you right on the spot there? And I said, that's what I did with my wife. And then the moment it lapsed judgment, she said, yes. No, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. Anyway, so we talked about that. That was positive and encouraging, that sort of thing. My dad had one of these. It's an 8mm film camera. And so he'd take movies of the family. And then he would take it to the camera shop. They'd take the film out, develop it. And then he would get a reel with the film, and then that would project it on the screen. So as a family, we had movie nights. That was really a lot of fun. And now Dennis was born in 1951, 6 years after World War II ended. I think my dad had that camera like in 1945. And what I did is I took 3 minutes of the 8mm film that he took of Dennis, and we digitized it, and I'm gonna show you that. Thank you. You know, it's really incredible. That sound from the guitar, that's the sound that came from that guitar.
Wow.
You can find anything on the internet. You crank a little knob on the side, and that's what you heard. So Dennis was a happy kid. And as a family, we all liked water activities. We had a boat and a pool in the backyard. And Dennis was a nice kid. He got along with people. He was a smart kid. He had some really good-looking siblings. on the right, he liked laughing at things. Here we're laughing, and that is a little bit more contemplative. But as brothers, we were buds. And when you have older brothers, you're going to have some hand-me-downs. Mom said, Doug, just wait, and your hands will pop out. And about 2 years later, they did. And Dennis got the same jacket, so he had to wait those 2 years, and then his hands popped out. So my mom always liked to dress us in the latest style, so we got the pointy collars. Tom got the bow tie, but we got the pointy collars. My mom do that. This was taken by a professional photographer from Alice Chalmers, where my dad worked, and it was a program on safety, and Dennis is really taking this serious on the left. He's really zeroing in on that little teaching comic book, and we ended up in the paper, and we thought we were movie stars. We got in the paper. In fact, years later, we reenacted it. Because we thought we were just amazing. Now, Dennis was the engineer, and he was using the ski technique to get me buried into the sand. And it didn't work so good when I tried to water ski out of it. But now Dennis was pretty even keel with his personality, and sometimes he would forget to take his vitamins, and you can tell. But as we aged, you know, we were a pretty tight family. And as we aged some more, we were still a pretty tight family. And Dennis with his beautiful sister. He went to Salmon Juno High School, 67th and Blue Mound, graduated in 1969. He was on the National Honor Society for scholarship, leadership, service, and character. Now, this is crazy. He would get these certificates of attendance like once a semester. And when you accumulate all those, he didn't miss a day of school throughout his high school career. And he was never tardy. That should be in the Guinness Book of World Records someplace. Another scholarship or not, or a certificate for service. Remember that butthead I gave in that video? I was getting him prepared. He was first string tackle lineman in the high school football team. He was a wrestler, varsity wrestler. He was on the track team, and he did the shot put. Does everybody know what the shot put is? I thought maybe there may be a few that don't know. But this is what Dennis did. The discus throw. Some of you may not know what that is. And he participated in high school athletic conference events, and as a sophomore, he came in second place in the city for wrestling. Now, he got two wrestling injuries, and that took him out of wrestling, but he could still do the shot put. And came in fourth place for spectacle as a senior. He lettered in all those sports. So he was in football, wrestling, he was a cadet, track, honor, study hall, committee, newspaper, sports announcer, National Honor Society. Busy guy. Dennis liked fish. Sometimes he'd catch a fish. Sometimes he'd catch a big fish. Go sailing occasionally. He loved golfing. He loved eating golf tees. And then he acquired a taste for golf balls. Maybe Dan and Aaron can comment on that. I have no idea where that came from. But then we go to the Greater Milwaukee Open and see celebrities. Some of you maybe remember this guy. Tom, Dennis, and I would go to special big sporting events. So this is a short clip of one of those that we attended. This is why we Dennis really liked that event because he put a bet on pork sausage and pork sausage won. I was off. I had a basketball scholarship on the Minnesota plane. I didn't know Dennis played. This is one of the things I found out in the interview, that he was on a basketball team. And then rummaging through his pictures, I found this. And I said, boy, that looks pretty official, Dennis. And he said, Protocols. That's Professional Business and Collegiate Organization. And he said, I played for them. And I said, boy, how cool is that? Dennis loved playing skip-o with the family. And he liked beating the competitor. So when he did, he felt his oats. He beat me in something. I can't remember what it was, but he was feeling pretty good about it. So Dennis graduated from high school in 69. Then he went off to Emmaus Bible School. All of us kids went to Emmaus Bible School. And I've told people that was like one of the best years of my life. Dennis, particularly like Dr. Black's Life of Christ course, he said that was just amazing. He went there for 2 years. Then he went off to UWM and got a certificate in communication, actually a degree. He had some friends through college, and they used to have their secret meetings, and they would meet. And I don't know why anybody puts a tub in their front yard, but they did. Then he went off to Milwaukee Area Technical College and got a visual communications degree. He started putting it all to use. And I'm going to show you a short little clip of one of his first wedding reception videos that he put together. Now remember, this is 1977, 45 years ago. And back then it was just slide projectors. So you put the slide up and the next one. But he was high tech. He had a Dassault unit that would fade one slide into the next, and you know, it was just really cool. So let me just show you that a little bit.
There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume. We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass, or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly notice all the rest of
the thing. Or we can make things so slow. We control the content. We can make it boring.
Hello, dear.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. It's our show. We can do anything we want.
Thank you.
For our wedding and 1977, that was amazing. Oh my gosh, and that was just the introduction. Another 15, 20 minutes after that, he was so creative. And Vivian, I sure appreciated that. And they make these little Sunday school flyers and give them out to church Sunday schools. He went to the Waukesha County Technical College and got a certificate of nursing assistant degree. And guess why he did that? He had an uncle. Uncle had some Alzheimer's. And he says, I want to know how to advise him and just help him along. And he went for a year to get the certificate so he could help him. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Dennis worked at the Carmelite Home for the Boys. It was a 40-bed facility. Now you can imagine at night, one of those 40 kids would probably want to sneak out. And he was third shift, did that for 23 years. But he had training and he learned some techniques that really got the kids to respect, and they knew that Dennis meant business. And I have a training slide that showed them how he accomplished that. and the kids really obeyed really well. Dennis also worked for the Postal Service. He worked for the Quobacals Bookstore, a Christian bookstore in Milwaukee. Had a great sense of humor. He went down to Florida, lived with mom and dad for a while, and while I was there, he was a teacher assistant at Bear Lake Christian School. And, you know, going through his stuff, I mean, he had all kinds of correspondence after we left. Dennis, we miss you. Hope you're doing well. I mean, he had that kind of impact on people. So he appreciated family. So here he's with Grandma. She was born in 1888, lived until she was 94. And Grandma Jenny was fascinated with Dennis's beard. But he always appreciated family and would visit her. Dennis can learn to adapt too. Here he's in Florida, it's Sunday, he's got a suit on, he's ready to go to church, but it's really hot, so he says, I'm gonna adapt. I don't know if they let him in the church, but at least he tried. Now, we all have challenges, and one of the challenges Dennis had is he got a little overweight. In fact, he got a lot overweight. Yeah, that was 330 pounds. And I said, Dennis, you know, being a chiropractor, I have a weight loss program and a nutrition thing. And he said, you come in, I'll tell you how to take care of that. And he did. And in that conversation I had with him at the accessibility facility, I said, Dennis, you lost what, 60 pounds? He said, Doug, I lost over 100. Mm-hmm. So I was so proud of him. You know, he had a little challenge there, but he rose to the occasion and got things under control in that regard. Dennis loves this place. He loved this place. We all love this place. This is where our family went to church. I don't know if any of you remember these ladies. You remember them?
Yeah.
Okay. Edna, I was at a funeral. I sat next to her downstairs. We started talking, and she said this, Doug, ever since you left the church, went to college, got married, I have prayed for you and your family every day since we left. That speaks to the church, you know, produce people like that in the church, you know, that they have that kind of commitment. I said, Anna, you're the reason why I'm not in jail. Dennis had some great friends, Jim Quinn, Rich Becker. And then I noticed something that Dennis had the same genetics, of course, but he had the hoarding gene and I had the hoarding gene, and he had bulletins from the chapel that went back to 1949. And I went through them and I started reading them. And in the center, there's a thing called the announcement. So I started reading a few of those and I want to show you what some of them said. This being Easter Sunday, we will ask Mrs. Quinn to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. These are real. These are real. Tuesday evening, there will be an ice cream social. All these giving milk, please come early. I don't think they believed in editors back then. A bean supper will be held Saturday evening in the church basement. That was the last one. This afternoon, there will be a meeting at the south and north ends of the chapel. Children will be baptized in the chapel. One end, the hands got it, and the other end, the feet got it. Dennis supported World Missions. And I found this thing, and this is a prayer reminder card. So he would pray for the Vandernewts and Papworths and the Beckers, and he would pray for missions all the time. He loved traveling, went to Barbados and France and Rome and Ireland, Canada, Mexico, all these places. Dennis loved riding motorcycles. I bought this motorcycle, a 750 Honda, 1972. It had a sissy bar on the back. So if you have somebody sitting back there, it won't fall off. And we had motorcycles in our life. So here's Diane driving the 250 Yamaha with Dennis in the middle and in the back. The goal was not to get caught by the cops. And we were pretty successful. I had this 1947 Harley Knucklehead that Dennis liked. So we packed up our bags, our bikes, and Dennis and I took off to Colorado. And we spent some time there as counselors to a boys camp, Christian boys camp. That was a lot of fun. And of course, when you're on a motorcycle, you're going to run into a storm. And we did. We got up on top of this mountain during the night. We strung a rope between the bikes, put a plastic over it, and then crawled in. That was our tube tent. That's how we stayed dry. But that was the first image of where we were when we got there. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And we climbed mountains. Now, I said, Dennis, now there's a 500-foot drop-off when you're right there. And I said, Dennis, wait, 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 this is going to be a great picture. Let me get my camera. You notice he's not smiling? Well, I took that picture and got to the top of the mountain. It was fun. So Denny and I were traveling buddies. I mentioned his sense of humor. He could find humor in oranges. You would find humor in church. You find humor in a quarter, and he would laugh. He was making sure his head won't fall off. I think he thought he was Mickey Mouse. He could befriend a chicken and make the chicken laugh. He would have such a great sense of humor. He was a good-looking, masculine kind of guy, but he could get in touch with his feminine side. So I think maybe that's a little politically incorrect today, but back then that was hilarious. But Dennis had a lot of characters, including humor, a lot of characters, quality characters, character qualities. Okay. So he showed love to others. He was a man of character, valued relationships. He's creative, thoughtful, helpful, intelligent, trustworthy, humorous, witty, artistic, supportive, independent, generous guy. And when he was at the assisted living facility, this is the book he's reading, Doubling Your Personal Effectiveness. He's in a wheelchair. He's at assisted living, and he's trying to figure out how he could be more effective at the assisted living facility. And I thought, kudos to you, brother. That's amazing. So Dennis is with his Lord and Savior as we speak. And I kind of wondered what the first 2 minutes would be like after he passed. I think maybe something like this. We love you, Dennis. All right. So I hope that stimulates some brain cells. And because now we're going to have a sharing time for family and friends to come up here. And if you want to share some memories of Dennis, feel free. So whoever wants to come up. Well, I'll talk for 10 more minutes. No, I'm done. Okay, is somebody coming up? All right.
Just to break the ice, Doug.
Use your mic?
No, I'm all right.
Okay.
go up there so that we can see. Yep.
Hello, so I'm Fred Schwertriger from Wauwatosa Bible Chapel. I've been here since the day you got married, 1977, more or less. And all those years have been filled with Dennis Schultz in one way or another in the Schultz family. And it's been my pleasure to serve as an elder at Wauwatosa. And Dennis has been a deacon. And we were oftentimes in these retreats at Lake Geneva together and so forth. And just your attributes, your virtues, Doug, are right on. I want to say how generous Dennis was and how thoughtful when we have a meal at our house and invite Dennis over and others. Dennis would always send a thank you card the next day and very, very receptive about that. He always brought something to our meal when we had it. And so very thoughtful brother. What you don't know about him, he didn't show his softball skills. So Dennis was a leader of the Wauwatosa Bible Chapel softball team for many years. I believe he played mostly first base, but then he was the coach of the team and the manager. But Dennis had a specific gift in softball that you might not know about. He's a right-handed batter. He could place the ball to right field to get a hit every time because there was playing him to the left and he tapped it over the right field and beat out this row. Can you imagine that? So since he retired from softball, we haven't had a team and I miss it so much. And I just want to add my blessings to the family and hope you'll be able to remember Dennis for all these good things. What a great brother to have in the Lord and to be with us all these years of all. It was a Bible chapel. He used to look after our sign out there and be sure we had the right messages up, and we're hoping maybe we can memorialize something for Dennis when we get our new sign this year. 100 years at Wauwatosa Bible Chapel. The Schultz have been here since 49. Is that what it would be? So part of the years with the Schultz family. So God bless you all.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. This is coming up. You know, I remember the score sheets now. I can't believe I overlooked that. I have tons of score sheets and it's not this one.
So my name is Ray Giannini. I'm one of the elders here at the chapel. There are three things I remember about Dennis that were particularly moving. The first one was the missionaries and new tribes would always say that he would pass along donations that would come into the chapel. He would always include a little note that they really appreciated. It would say, you know, it's one thing to receive something, but also to have a nice, careful little note by Dennis. The second thing I remember is when he was living in his apartment, I would come visit him or take him out for lunch or something. And he was simply one of the most pleasant people to be with. I don't even remember when we talked about it, but always went very fast. And I was always disappointed that the time would go by so fast. The third thing I remember about him is that we used to give these state of the kind of the year reports, and Dennis didn't like to go up in front of people, at least that's what he said. So one time he had his little portion as a treasure and he kind of shuffled up there and he was very late to give this report. He's late to come to the chapel. And this is typical Dennis. He's like, sorry guys, I'm a little bit late. I couldn't find my pants.
When he came to see me, I tried to, you know, lose his weight. I said, you need to exercise. And the next week, I said, what did you start? Well, I couldn't find my shoes. Next week, he came and I said, well, I found my shoes, but I don't know where the shoelaces are. There were some pretty creative excuses. Yeah, I forgot. He was a treasurer of the church for 13, 14 years, wasn't he? And he really appreciated Jim Anthony, if you remember him. He was a banker, and he helped him learn how to do that, the treasury stuff. Anybody else? I see that hand. From the line.
I'm sorry. Well, my name is Rachel. I am one of the nieces.
I'm just going to read what this is. One thing that I think all of us remember about Uncle Dennis is that when you would sit at a table with him and you wanted something more to drink, you'd say, could I just have a little more? And you'd hand him your glass and he literally would give you this much more. And it just kind of became this running joke. But one of my top memories of him is, to me, he was Uncle Buck. And for a season, he drove a car very much like him. And he took my sister and I to go see Uncle Buck. And I remember kind of like rolling around in the back seat while he was driving, and like he had blankets for us. And for a bachelor, he definitely knew how to love the nieces and nephews very well.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Leah Lillo. I've been going to chapel for the last 14 years. And the thing that stood out to me most about Dennis was 6 years ago, I had my fifth baby. And Dennis signed up to bring me a meal. And not only did he bring me a meal, but he came over and he had gone shopping and bought me an entire week's worth of groceries and the best blueberry crisp I've ever had. Oh. So that will always be a sweet memory of mine.
Wonderful. Oh, brother. So, well, let's move on. Jim Quint has got a eulogy for us. And we're going to sing a song, there'll be a closing prayer, and then we'll be done.
Well, many happy memories, special memories with Dennis. Would like to read one comment that came in that was sent to me, a good friend of Dennis's, Lynn and George Borno, who live in Green Bay. And they sent this, which reads, "We have a lot of memories in our 45 years of friendship with Dennis. We spent time meeting the Wauwatosa Y several days a week to work out. Dennis introduced us to Trader Joe's, and we'll never forget our years at the chapel softball team. He was an enthusiastic fan base we had, especially after we got the team jerseys. Dennis was skilled at hitting behind our runners to advance them. He also excelled at hitting the opposite field. One year, Dennis led us to the Consolation Tournament Championship, and our team came home with a trophy. Dennis visited us several times in Green Bay to fish, but our kids thought he was mainly there to see them. The girls would excitedly tell Seth that Dennis was coming, after which Seth started calling him dentist, which might explain Seth's repeated displeasure on trips to the dentist as he was expecting to see Dennis. One Thanksgiving, we were still living in Milwaukee, Dennis, Judy, Jim, and a young Jennifer and Janine, and maybe a few more kids were all at our house working on getting the turkey ready. When we were moving to the table, Janine went up to Dennis and sweetly said, "You have to go now, Dennis. We're ready to eat." You can still hear Dennis softly chuckling and saying, "Tell me it's not so." Of course, we haven't let any of us forget that moment. We've enjoyed sharing many Super Bowls and other dinners with Dennis around the Borno and Quint table. And it reminds us of a song, "The Lord is mine and I am his. His banner over me is love." And especially this stanza, "He brought me into his banqueting table. His banner over me is love." We look forward to being around that table with Dennis again. That's from Lynn and George Borno. When Doug had asked me to share some thoughts about Dennis, he says, "Well, I got you slotted for 10 minutes. And I was thinking, how do I, in 10 minutes, talk about 70 years of memories and things that Dennis and I had together." As you know, Dennis and I were raised here at the Wauwatosa Bible Chapel. And My mom would always say that Dennis and I were in the nursery together. He was in one crib, I was in the other. Of course, his crib is a little bit bigger than mine. So many times when I was thinking about this, all these memories floated in about our time in Sunday school together. At that time, you know, we didn't have a basement, so we had our Sunday schools on the other side of the building there, and we had these linoleum floors, and we were sitting in these little wood chairs, and we would sit together, and we would sing songs, and we'd always ask, the song leader would say, what was your favorite song? Well, we'd always would request Only a Boy Named David, you know. So where you do the motions, you have to stand up, and you're doing the motions, and the best part is when the giant came tumbling down, you're supposed to jump up and down real hard and, you know, slam the floor. And Dennis was always the loudest, you know. And that was his favorite song, because he would just get up there and he would just jump. And we always would try to say, let's just make it so loud that they hear us next door. But that was special. Sunday school, Dennis and I dreaded the Christmas program. Both Dennis and I did not care to get up in front of people and talk. We were hoping we'd get parts like maybe we could play the sheep or something like that. But usually we were either wise men or, you know, shepherds, and always came with a speaking part. And the night of the program, his dad would always have these beards put on us, and he would glue them on our face. It's a special glue. We put it on. And his dad says, don't pick at it, don't scratch. Well, that glue would start to dry, and your face starts to, you know, and we're standing up there and we're trying to say our parts and we're just doing everything we can, you know, to get it up. And it was just itching us. And like Dennis told me, he says, I never got a good night's sleep until the program was over. on Sunday evenings, as young boys, we also had an evening service here. We were allowed to sit with our friends. On Sunday evenings, the boys would sit together in the pew, but as long as we behaved, you know, that was the key. So Dennis's dad would lead the singing, and often during the singing service, he would ask us Bible questions. And one night he asked us this question: who is the largest band that roamed the earth? And of course, we're thinking, well, you know, Goliath. Well, Dennis leans over and says to me, Willie Mays, which is a big baseball player. Well, I started to giggle, and then the rest of the pew started to giggle. And the whole time, this whole pew is just shaking, but Dennis is just. Sooner than that, there's a tap on my shoulder, you know, because we had some saints here that were pretty strict and, you know, but that was Dennis. He would do that to us all the time. Summertime was special growing up here at the chapel. I think we always look forward to going to camp together. Lake Geneva Youth Camp was a highlight, and it always was important to make sure that we went together as a group and that Dennis went along with us, because Dennis was, you know, he made it fun. And we went from grade school into all the way into high school camp. But there was one high school camp that I really stands out. I think maybe some remember, and John DeFrancis would probably remember this, but this high school camp, they had they were going to do this beauty pageant. And they were going to pick five girls who were some of the attractive ones and had qualities. And during the week, we were supposed to vote on who we thought would be, you know, the beauty queen. So all week, you know, we're observing these girls and, so the night of the presentation, they're going to bring out these five girls and it's going to choose the winner. Well, to our surprise, as they open up the curtain and they're bringing them out, they have five guys dressed up as girls. And one of them was Dennis. And as you kind of saw that one that's feminine side there. And it took us all by surprise. And Dennis was one of the first ones coming up. And he comes up and I'm looking and I says, what is Dennis's mom doing? And I think John says, that's Dennis. It's like, if we couldn't believe it. And he played a part for help. You know, he's dressed, you know, here, and Dennis would go, you see it? He'd go, and he'd blink his eyes, you know, and oh man, he never laughed so hard. And but he, that was fantastic. Of course, we played softball together, and we had a good time at that. Dennis was quite a talented ball player. We also did other things outside of chapel. I remember in the 70s when the movie Jaws came out, about that killer shark, and Dennis says, would you like to go see that movie? And I says, sure. But he says, it's kind of gory. So he says, don't eat anything. Okay, we won't eat anything. So we go to 2 o'clock that day. And we're sitting through that movie, you know, and yeah, it was kind of gory. But by the way, that movie was over. Our stomachs were aching. And we were so hungry. And Dennis says, I got to find the first McDonald's, you know, that we can get to. And I'll never forget that. We were just, we raced to that McDonald's, you know. That wasn't such a good idea not to eat anything. You know, we attended a lot of music concerts together. He had enjoyed all kinds of music. And it was, we had some special times. He stood up at our wedding and also appreciated that. He was also a good friend. We had many good laughs, many breakfasts together. Boy, I think of all the breakfasts that Dennis and I did over the years, especially I was thinking too, Tom, when we used to meet for breakfast on Sunday mornings, Dennis, you and I, my brother, you know, right before the first service, and we'd have breakfast at the International House of Pancakes there, you know, often praying about the meetings for the day as well. Now, Dennis wasn't one to show a lot of emotion. I mean, he'd get pretty excited about, you know, football games and things like that, but he wasn't really that emotional, or he never really showed that part. But I remember that the Sunday after his mom passed, we met each other in the hallway in the back there, and I saw him, he saw me, and right away, Dennis looks at me, and tears were coming down his eyes, and we hugged each other, and he says, how blessed we were to have such wonderful moms and parents, and you know, it was really touching, and that's the first time I really ever saw any real that type of emotion. But we talked about those things, and we were thankful for the mothers and families that we had. You know, Dennis was, as mentioned, he was kind of a quiet, he was a gentle guy, even though a big guy, and but you know, he was steady in his faith, and there was one verse I think Doug had put out about Dennis, and I thought it was just very fitting. He was steady in his faith and trust in the Lord, and it was in Jeremiah 17:7-8, which reads, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted in the water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. He has no worries in a year of drought, and he never fails to bear fruit. And I think that was just a perfect verse for Dennis. You know, his roots spiritually were deep. And, you know, he didn't maybe always say things, but, you know, in our conversations, especially in our breakfast, you know, he would talk about things and we could talk about spiritual things. And there was a time in my life, I think I struggled with my faith. You know, there was a time I actually kind of wandered a little bit. But when I made my turn back, Dennis was there and he was an encouragement to me. We talked about things. I thought, you know, I was kind of sorry that I made that turn, and you know, but he encouraged me to just to continue on, just press on. And it's one thing I'll never forget about Dennis, that he was just really true to his faith. As is mentioned, Dennis really loved the chapel here. It's a big part of his life. He served in many areas. He was a Sunday school teacher, song leader, and he was an excellent song leader. A lot like his dad, had that natural ability, and always tried to encourage them. But he, like Dennis, was not, he doesn't really care to be up front if he didn't have to be. And, you know, every time before he's leading singing, you know, I'd be downstairs and Dennis, he's sweating and stuff. Dennis, you do a great job. No, you just want to make sure you want to make sure everything was perfect and right. And he always did a good job and a thorough job. But I said, Dennis, you have an ability there. You're good at it, you know. And he always wanted him to lead singing. And he was always a little hesitant, but when he did it well. He was a treasurer for many years, too, and did that very thoroughly. And a deacon, served here as a deacon. And you can always rely on Dennis to the task that he was asked to do. He always was, we talked about the chapel and especially his two was when he went into this assisted living, but he was always encouraged by what was taking place. And, you know, I told him a little about, we have a young man here that was coming to the chapel, his name is Juanes, and Dennis really never had a chance to meet him, but he's just a young man who's really excited about the Lord. And you know, I was talking to him about it, and he said, oh, boy, that's so exciting to know that there's others that are coming in who are excited about the Lord and want to be involved with the chapel. And so he had a heart for this place. You know, when he turned 70, and, you know, with Dennis and I, we're just separated by 7 months, you know, I called him on his birthday, and we talked about that. And he says, man, Jim, 70. He says, you know, you kind of think back, are we really 70? You know, and he says, it seems like time went by so quickly. And when you think about 70, that it's that's a ways off when you're younger, but now we're here. And we were talking about it, talking about life. And of course, Dennis, you know, was dealing with some very serious health issues. And in our conversation, I just sensed that he was realizing that, you know, our days are getting shorter. Each day leads us a little bit closer to our eternal home. And our conversation continued on. We were both thankful for the hope that we have and the heritage and our upbringing, even reflected on maybe some of the Sunday school teachers or people in the past that helped us in our spiritual life and laid that foundation. You know, as we grow older and both physically and spiritually, we develop a deeper appreciation for the salvation that's been imparted to us and reflected on that, especially too when someone passes, a dear brother like Dennis or a sister in Christ, knowing that they're with the Lord. One day we'll be together again. One thing, you know, Dennis, we talked about, when I talked about the phone on his birthday, you know, we talked about our eternal destiny, and he had that, just that confidence, knowing where he was going to spend eternity and where we would spend eternity. And, you know, that brings you so much joy knowing that you have that peace that really passes all understanding. And, you know, that destiny was secured many years ago for Dennis and I. As you heard his testimony, he was about 4 or 5 years of age, and I was about 6 years old when I accepted the Lord. But we both claim the truths of the scripture and what John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And other verses like John 5:24, whoever hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has eternal life and is not condemned, but has passed from death to life. And we talked about those things We're so thankful for what the Lord Jesus has done for us. You know, it's sad when we lose a brother like Dennis or someone. You know, there is a sadness, but we know it's only for a season, because there will be a time when we will be together. And for a child of God, as Dennis was, he had a confidence and faith in God's word. And he studied God's word. It's surprising, you know, like I said, Dennis didn't always say a lot, but he knew the word. And he could bring up references and refer to different things in our conversation. But I think the verses that really strike me is about the confidence that we have in our eternal destiny. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan, we are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is to God, who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we always are confident, know that as long as we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. And we're confident, I say, that I would prefer to be away from the body and home with the Lord. And that's the confidence that Dennis had. It's the confidence that we have as children of God, knowing that our destiny is secure. And Dennis found comfort in that, found rest in God's word. And I trust, you know, that's each one of you can say that as well here today, that you have that confidence, that trust and hope, knowing that your destiny is secure if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And knowing that one day we'll be together again, and we find comfort in those words in John, which says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And it's a place which is described in Revelation 21, where God wipes away all tears, there's no more mourning, no crying, pain, for the former things have passed away. And that's what Dennis is experiencing. He's free from the pain that he might have been experiencing in his body, the effects of sin that's no longer feeling anymore, and rejoicing. And like I said, you know, like Tom and Doug were saying, I wonder what Dennis' reaction was when he entered in the glory and what that was like for him. And we all anticipate that, and what a reunion that it was to see his Lord and Savior, those who've gone before him, his mom, his dad, and other families, friends that knew the Lord. What a joy that must have been for him. But we even though we feel the sadness, we don't walk away here with sadness. We walk away with joy, knowing the hope that we have in Christ. And I just have to say, as we read in 2 Corinthians 9:15, praise God for his indescribable gift. A great gift has been given us. I trust each one of you can claim that as well and give praise for that. I just say, I wonder if we could just ask the Lord to bless this time. The great God and Heavenly Father, as we come before you again, we just thank you again for your love for us. We thank you for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for our brother Dennis and for his life, his testimony, his impact in our lives and so many lives, things that people don't even know about, those unseen things, his faithfulness to the missions, those people that he supported, his love for God's people, for this local body of believers here, this chapel, and his family. We thank you for that, for Dennis. And he leaves a legacy behind. And we just pray, Lord, that as Dennis was so faithful in his very many areas, Lord, may we also be faithful to the things that you've asked us to do as well. So we just thank you again for Dennis, and we just pray that in all things, through his life and through our lives, we might be honored and glorified. So we look to you now in my name we pray. Amen. I believe Eric has a song for us.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim. That was great. There are hymns. We're going to be singing Great Is Thy Faithfulness, number 139.
Can you stand to sing this song all together?
Shadow of turning with thee.
summer and winter.
Church family has provided refreshments for us to enjoy. So if you'd like to keep on fellowshipping and greeting people you haven't seen in a long time, please head to the basement, and that's where you'll find it. Blessings to all. Amen.